All right, everybody. See you next week. Everybody have a good new year.
Good night, future boy.
Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shea Splane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Chris Earle is still here as
hello,
well.
Hello. Yeah,
we begged him to stay to save our butts.
Hanging around after time travel. There's no saving our butts.
No, we want to hear about Christmases.
No,
How was the Christmases?
Did I say save? I meant touch. I wanted to touch our butts.
I can do that.
There was too much of that in 2017. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. And if you tuned in to hear all the usual nonsense that we do on this program, Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is there will be no shortage of nonsense for the next 2 hours. But the bad news is it is our end of the year show, the worst of 2017.
It's always a horrible year, isn't it? Every year is worse than the last one. What do you think?
I will say that's usually true, but this year, and I'm sure this has been said before, but this year has a really special amount of vibrance in being the worst.
Mm, I agree.
Last year was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners will recall, last year was so bad that I actually changed this show to the best of.
Just to raise people's spirits.
My feeling being that we've been doing the worst of for so long that we were somehow contributing to the downward spiral.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Well, that's the way I feel, is that last year was like the large amounts of gas that led to this year's giant pile of diarrhea.
Hmm.
That's the way it feels, if I'm being perfectly frank and not at all ladylike.
But here's a very interesting note off the top of the show, and I'm going to get into this more as we go through. We're back to the worst of this year.
Yes.
And the fact that I'm calling it the worst of and not the best of means that a measure of hope has returned to my heart.
There you go. My show was all about hope today, so I'm glad to hear that.
And I'm going to say right off the top, this year, not quite as bad as some of the ones we've had recently.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a bold statement.
Some things actually...
I'm going to have to very strongly disagree.
Well,
we need some examples.
Unless we're comparing it to last year, because like I said, last year, sometimes a fart's worse than diarrhea.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But just, you know, we'll get into it as we go through the show.
Speaking
tonight.
Speaking of which, listeners, if any of you enjoyed me in today's beautiful traffic on I-90 or CT-15 or any of the things in between, I'm sorry. Some of us drove for 6.5 hours today.
Oh, yikes.
Ooh, it was super fun.
Yeah. Some of us screwed up with this show, by the way. First of all, can I say, Christmas never again on a Monday. The Christmas Monday thing, not working for me.
I enjoyed it.
I'm going to say, we're not the war against Christmas. We're the war against Christmas on Monday.
How did you like it?
I liked the fact that there was an extra weekend to plan. I thought that was good.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. Even though I didn't plan a whole lot, I just did more fun things.
Hey, if we can work Weaster, really? Mm-hmm. If we can work Easter around always being on a Sunday, mm-hmm. we can work Christmas around always being on a more convenient day for radio broadcasting.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
In the sense that I actually finished my shopping before Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And actually probably could have finished it on the Friday before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I appreciated having the extra weekend in there. But I'm a football guy,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the football on Sunday, it's Christmas Eve, like the schedule's off, there's games on Christmas Day, I'm confused.
Yeah, that was a little off. Yeah, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like Monday felt like a Sunday, and Sunday felt like something weird, and then yesterday was, where the heck are we?
Well, I got laid off this year, so Monday is like every day for me now.
Yeah, that's great.
At least for the time being. I get a little temporary pass.
Aren't you cute?
Yeah, a temporary pass. I'm both cute and watching my bank account slowly go down.
Well, you didn't get laid off. You're taking a professional sabbatical.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
A permanent sabbatical from your previous job.
Yes,
that's just
yes.
like how I haven't gained weight. It's just winter and I want to stay warm.
Oh, yes. I'm always warm.
I've been
warm since the 70s.
You should call it an employer-mandated sabbatical.
Yeah. I'm going to reinvent myself for 2018. I'm thinking of almost taking some courses in like plumbing, electricity, and what else? Carpentry.
Yeah.
Just like some 101 courses. I don't know if I want to go for the full journeyman license. Because then I'll be the apprentice. And you know what happens to the apprentice? They have to go into the deep, dark holes or get electrocuted all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be somebody yelling at me. I'm used to that.
Oh, I thought they were going. I thought you were going to say that they get yelled, "You're fired," by our president. So.
I know the apprentice has gotten a whole new meaning now.
Yeah.
It used to be Johnny Tremaine. I'd like to be a silversmith, I think, for 2018. That would be kind of fun, too.
That's a good skill, actually. The world needs silversmiths.
Yeah, I think I could make some money doing that. And if I couldn't, I could always just, you know, take whatever is in the pot at the end of the day.
You know
the
what
silver
I,
pot.
You know what I found out is actually a hugely in-demand skill
mm-hmm.
is machinists.
Yeah.
What kind of
machine are machinists?
I like to call them machinists.
People who can manufacture things out of steel and iron mm-hmm. and replacement parts and things like that.
Yeah.
there are very few of them left.
Yeah. And that sounds more lucrative than comedy and radio.
And they actually do get well paid. And if you have machinist skills, you are seldom out of work these days because there's somebody somewhere looking for a machinist.
Yeah. As much as I love comedy and radio, wouldn't it be great to be like, hey, there's this thing with a transaxle in the yard. Chris can fix it for you.
Yeah.
Call him up.
Watch me crap the hell out of this bolt.
Hey, see that roller coaster?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It will never go off the tracks again.
So how was everybody's Christmas? How was your Christmas, Chris?
It was good. Yeah, I went down Mama's and she had a nice tree. My mom decks out the whole place. She's got like all the trees in the yard. She's got the porch. She's got everything ready. And she does a great job. She makes all kinds of food. She makes these Christmas cookies every year that are fantastic. And we had a lot of fun. And then we went out to eat the next day. So like completely stuffed. I've had like nothing to eat all day today. I'm still full from the last 2 days. But yeah, I had a nice time.
Okay,
I got to see all my brothers.
It's like a bear stocking up for winter.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I got to see all my brothers, a couple people missing, but it was fine. But I had a very nice Christmas. How about you guys?
This year was actually the first time. My sister has two small children, and this was the first year she put her foot down and was like, all right, we go to Boston every year. Please come to New York.
Yeah.
So this was our first, like, I've done like Christmas season in New York, but I've never done like actual Christmas in New York. It was really lovely. And my best friend who lives in Seattle was back in her hometown of Stanford. So I did that Christmas Day, and that's where I was driving 6 hours back from today. But it was great. It was cool. Like, I grew up here, so I've done New England Christmas, obviously, but always in a setting I'm used to. Whereas it was cool too. I did the very urban New York. My sister lives in Long Island City, so just across the river from Manhattan.
Very nice.
And then my friend lives in North Stamford, which is very, like, she lives on a lake with all these houses around it.
A little country Christmas.
I was going to say, I had the best of both worlds. It was really lovely. You know, until I leaned on my horn all day today.
Yeah.
That was less...
getting home is not
that
pleasant.
Was less fun. But no, all in all, it was a really... And I have this great... I'm sorry, listeners, you can't see.
That's is that Scarlett Johansson?
No.
With a monkey?
Oh, come on. Have some respect. This is Joan Cusack from Adam's Family Values.
Oh, very nice.
AKA Debbie Gillespie.
All right.
With Thing on her shoulder.
Oh, that's... Oh,
that
I see.
Was,
now, yeah,
yeah,
I see it now. It looked like a
gift.
Monkey, but it's a hand.
This... Oh, yes, that is a hand and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my gift from my best friend from college. He's back from Seattle for a few days.
That's very nice.
Katie Jameson, you rock my world.
Did you did you see the lights on the side of Saks Fifth Avenue while you were down in New York?
I did.
This may be the last time they do that, which is why I bring that up. I love that light show. That light show is fantastic. The windows there this year...
I'm sorry, is Trump declaring it fake
news? Yeah, why are they closing it down?
No, Hudson Bay Company, which owns both Saks and Lord & Taylor, announced in October that they were selling the Lord & Taylor building. So Lord & Taylor is only going to be two floors after this Christmas. And there were rumors flying at the time that they were looking at selling the Saks building as well.
Yeah.
So if they do, one would assume that the Saks windows and the Saks light show across from Rockefeller Center will no longer be a part of Christmas in New York, which would be a real shame.
I would hope, though, that it'd be one of those things where even if someone buys it out, the tradition will carry on. Because, I mean, it's such a part of... That's one of my favorite things about New York is that there's a grand sense of tradition there.
Except that the only people who can afford to buy it are like Jack Ma and Tencent Holdings, and they're going to change it to like a light show about Chairman Mao.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be a bunch of dollar signs and memes that mean give me your money.
Yes.
Like,
I always wanted to be a lord. I was always a master. My grandmother would always send me things saying Master Chris Earl.
Yes.
Master Chris Earl, CEO to my parents, right?
Duchess
and then
for
as
Mr.
I grew
Shea
up,
Coffins Belen.
As I grew up, I always wanted to be... Wouldn't you like to be Lord Derek Gary?
I'd rather be Baron Derek Gary, to be
Baron
honest.
Baron is nice.
Baron
badass,
sounds like, I'm going to mess you up. Lord is just like, oh, it's the Lord.
Oh, it's the Lord.
I have done.
Lord sounds like I could kick your butt if I wanted
no,
to.
Baron.
No,
Baron.
No, what I'm saying. Baron could kick your butt.
Yeah.
Lord could get his butt
Lord.
Kicked.
Oh, yeah. Barons are beating
Lord
the crap out of Lord
Derek Gary
all day.
Is here, everyone. Do you think that they would be ahead of like a doctor? I used to put in reservations online for nice places, and I'd put myself in as a doctor. And when I came, it was so funny how different they treated me.
I going to start doing that.
Yeah, they treated me so different. It's so amazing to do. So if you have a nice restaurant, put yourself in as Dr. Derek Garrett.
I'm going
to
start doing
that. And watch them change. And then they come over, and believe me, you will get good service the whole night. I had somebody, I heard we had a doctor in the house. I'm like, yes, we do. I'm like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm eating dinner right now. So we can talk later. But I bet you Lord would beat out Doctor. What do you think would be the best?
I can speak doctor language. So
I will say Colonel is always the one that's going to get
me.
Colonel.
Yes.
A few good men, Jack Nicholson's character.
He's great in that.
Even though he's wrong, you're damn right I did.
Yeah.
I still am like, ooh.
When he finally breaks.
You can get it.
Yes. Colonel Garrett.
Colonel Jessup.
Yeah. Brigadier. I'd want to be a brigadier.
Brigadier's good.
Brigadier.
Yeah. Brigadier.
Lieutenant Commander.
Honestly, the only way I'm going to be satisfied is if it's my Lord and Savior, Melissa Shea, Catherine Spillane. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. That's the only way it's going to go down.
I like Lieutenant Commander Spillane. That sounds pretty good.
Lieutenant Commander Spillane. Yes, I like that.
I think what's a little...
I think that one's...
I think what's a little bit more likely is Rear Admiral Earl.
Rear Admiral,
You are the Rear Admiral.
The Rear Admiral. Rear Admirals. It's a little gay, but it's okay.
So Christmas, I'm supposed to be over at the wife's parents' house at 10:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave up on midnight mass at 1 in the morning. It gets longer every year. I don't know how they do this. But I go outside. I look outside. There's no snow. There's clouds. And I'm like, they'd said coating to like 2 inches. I'm like, don't have to worry about snow. Go to bed. I got the wife pulling on me at 9:15 in the morning. She's like, we got to be my parents' house. I go outside, and the blizzard of 1978 is being reenacted in my driveway.
It was bizarre, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it's like, I got the snowblower out, and no sooner do I clear the snow in one area, than there's another inch of snow on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So, snowblow the driveway. We got over to her parents' house a little bit after 11. And came back, had to snowblow the driveway again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's 4 in the afternoon, I'm done with Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, enough of this.
It was so bizarre because I almost didn't go for the travel. I was going to stay in and watch a little TV, maybe play a little PlayStation. Then around 11:30, that wind and the snow that was coming down sideways at one point just stopped. It didn't even let up. It just stopped, and the sun came out. And within an hour, I snowblowed, and then within an hour, I was on 95 heading down toward the Cape, and it was fine.
We were on Main Street in Stoneham, and it's Route 28. Most people in this area have been on there at one time or another. We were heading toward, we're heading north. So we're heading toward Winchester. Stop and Shop is on our right. Mm-hmm. You cannot see Stop and Shop from Main Street because of the whiteout conditions.
Wow.
And it was just all of a sudden cars would emerge from out of the white in front of us. And we're in back of this one guy who starts out like kind of in the middle of the road and winds up driving on the left.
Oh, no.
Like fun.
About a quarter of a mile up the road. And he's doing 10 miles an hour on the wrong side of the street.
Oh, no.
And Molly and I are sitting there like, what? How could you be doing this? How do you not understand that you're doing this wrong? Please get off the road.
And then Lieutenant Commander Spillane was beeping as that was happening, going flying by.
Oh, yes. And I was giving my official salute, which involves me lifting the middle part of both of my hands right in the air while screaming something I can't say on the radio.
So it is our annual Worst of Show, where we wrap up 2017, and as I said, I got the dates wrong. Usually we do this the first week in January, so I don't have the In Memoriam segment done. We'll have that next week.
He will the first week in January.
Yeah. You know what we should talk about, too, is we do these Best of, Worst of at the end of the year. Now, what if something happens within the next 3 days?
Doesn't count.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It does or it doesn't?
This is why I get
it does.
What if something awful happens in the next 3 days?
This is why I got the dates
well,
wrong.
Well, then we're all a bunch of jerks, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take it on faith that everybody can behave themselves.
You think we're safe?
I'm going to take it on faith that everyone can behave themselves for the next 72 hours.
All right.
And not do anything too awful.
Because you know me, I get a little nervous.
I know.
I worry.
As we all should, because it's the way it goes. So we break this down according to the topics that we cover during the news all year long, and we're going to start out with the worst local story. And I'm going to preface it by saying this. I really had to look to come up with a worst local story this year. Shay?
I did and I didn't. I I don't know about you, Derek. No, that's, I can't even, you do way more research than me, so I can't even try. Well, there were two that stuck out in my mind anyhow, and then I went through all of my notes to try to see if there were more, like there was something that I was forgetting about. There wasn't. It was the same two. Though I will say I had to, the big struggle for me was narrowing it down to what the number one would be.
What was your number two?
My number two is Baby Doe.
Well, we found out who Baby Doe was.
And, yes. And that, but you have to call her Baby Doe.
Yes. But
because she was Baby Doe for like 6 months.
Right. But that was a couple of years ago. That was our worst story. And that was. That was like
but that's, well, I'm
a
saying
national
like
disgrace,
the,
that story.
But the breakdown, like how it, all of it coming to light with this was this year, which was my, that's why it was my number two.
Yeah.
My number one was Orion Krauss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That.
Which part of why it's my number one is number one. Part of why it was my number one is number one, but Exhibit A, I don't want to say number one twice in a row, it was horrifying. And for those of you who don't remember, this was a 22-year-old. He graduated from Oberlin, like arguably smart kid. He used a baseball bat to kill his mom, his grandparents, and their caretaker at the grandparents' home in Groton in September. And for no apparent reason, it was literally like he had kind of gone off his rocker and then escaped to Boston, called his mom and was like, hey, I'm in Boston. Come pick me up. She was like, whoa, why don't we stop at your grandparents' place before we go back to, I believe they lived in Maine. Yeah, Rockport. And while they were stopped there, he just decided to kill everybody.
Wow.
And this is my worst story of the year for two reasons. One, it's horrific. It's... Anytime somebody, especially so brutally, I mean, we spoke about it on the show, and part of what makes this so horrifying is not just that it's a 22-year-old killing his mom, his grandparents, and a random woman who really fought for her life. She was the one found in the yard that he like chased after while she was trying to run for help. But with a baseball bat, it's... I mean, I'm not saying like, oh, anyone can shoot someone, but shooting someone or something, like, it's a little more passive. A baseball bat or something where you literally have to, you have it in your hands and to inflict the damage.
That's premeditated.
That's, and not even just premeditated, but just, it takes some, when you say crime of passion, like, that is a definition of that. But also, what makes it annoying to me as someone who's very interested in crime and in the opening and closing of cases is that this has not even begun to break. Like I said, 6 hours of driving kids. It hasn't even begun to break. It's still in these stages. They're still trying to figure out like motivation. If he is, able to stand trial, there's still, everything is still being figured out at this point. And it was, perhaps not even in Massachusetts, but just in the country, one of the more brutal crimes to be committed this year. Yeah. And it was only a few months ago.
Overall, there were so many. I mean, I thought that this overall was a pretty darn good year for Massachusetts.
I did have to search a bit.
Not a lot of terrible, tragic things happened. And a lot of things that could have gone wrong this year didn't. We had that freedom rally a week after Charlottesville. That could have turned into an absolute nightmare. Mm. And instead, what it turned into was 40,000 Bostonians showed up and said, white supremacists, go home. And the white supremacists did under heavy police escort.
Did they even show up?
They showed up. They marched around
the bandstand. You're
totally spoiler
alerting.
A couple of times.
One of my points for this year.
Willie Lantigua did not get reelected mayor of Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Which means the voters actually learned something up there. We had a woman, a Marblehead native, became the first woman since 1977 to win the New York City Marathon.
That was dope.
And so someone from MIT won the Nobel Prize.
You are totally doing things
out of order, buddy. I know. But somebody from MIT won the Nobel Prize. There were a lot of good things that happened here. Mm-hmm. The two that stuck out in my mind, one of them, it's similar to yours, is the trial of Michelle Carter, who was the 17-year-old girl who texted her boyfriend.
Oh, yes, I was going to say, I knew I was forgetting one.
Conrad Roy to kill himself.
Yep. That, I followed that to the T.
Yeah.
That was, and the fact that she,
She's creepy.
That's the ultimate case of...
She got the resting bitch face, but she's creepy beyond that and apparently has no human empathy whatsoever.
But that's the thing, is that is the ultimate case of, like, it's the most extreme twisted version of, I have a boyfriend, but he goes to another school.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that girl was, which was, he did go to another school. They lived, like, they had only met a handful of times.
Yeah.
And it was legitimately the only reason she convinced him to do it was so that people at her school would start paying attention to her.
That story, like, is so sad in so many different ways.
You poor thing, your boyfriend killed himself. Mm-hmm. And she started a whole thing. It was so manipulative.
It also shows how disconnected everybody is. And how you know, you could also argue how technology is actually failing us.
Well,
and it's getting beyond our control.
Well, and people tried to argue. I remember when she was sentenced and there were people trying to rally against it, saying, oh, there's no precedent for this. Of course there's no precedent for this. Texting amongst teenagers has been, for those of you who don't recall, this is a girl who literally convinced her, for lack of a better term, internet boyfriend to kill himself, to the point of they talked about it for several weeks, and then when he was having second thoughts while he was doing it, she texted him saying, get back in the car.
Yeah.
And people who were against the sentence said, oh, well, there's no precedent for this. You can't charge it. There's no precedent because texting is a very new technology.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
just... It's just like if somebody was murdering people by calling someone and torturing them over the phone to get them to the place where they want to murder them. Oh, well, there's no precedent for this. Oh, well, telephones just got invented. Like, it's...
But at the same time, if we had a law that said telling someone to go kill themselves was illegal, they'd have to arrest everyone on Twitter.
Fair.
So...
But you're going to see more come down the line.
This was a little bit more of an extreme case because he's in the truck saying, no, I'm not going to do this.
And she's saying, get back
in. And she's saying, no, go get back in the truck.
I would say, well, and there's a difference between bullying, and I hate that I'm even making this distinction, but there's a difference between bullying and theoretically saying, oh, go kill yourself.
Right.
Than having multiple documented conversations. Yeah. Talking about, I'm thinking of killing myself. Oh, sweetie, you can do it. I support your decision. Everything hurts so bad.
Well, here's another.
Having it be not just the equivalent of saying you're fat or everyone thinks you're a slut, as opposed to, like, we've had serious, I'm not bullying you, you trust me conversations about committing suicide.
I think one of the other big things to talk about there, too, is the fact that they were young. Now, what would happen if these two were adults? In their 30s or 40s, you know, completely different story altogether, and maybe the outcome would have been a little bit different.
She was a good kid. She made some bad decisions. Well, this shouldn't ruin the rest of her life.
Well, and they were young. I mean, he was 18. He was an adult.
Right.
Like,
but they're still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
18, the brain's not completely formed yet. I don't think it ever gets formed until you're on your way out. And you live to a grand old age. I think everybody's still growing.
I'm still waiting for it to be formed.
Yeah.
So I can't
wait for the other half to kick in.
That's what I was going to say. By your argument, I mean, okay, so it'd be different if I convinced I'm 31. Oh, God, that's the first time I've admitted on the radio. I don't care. But it'd be different if I convinced my 35-year-old boyfriend to kill himself the same...
Yeah,
Vane.
and you basically
think it would.
I think it might have made a difference. You never know. I mean, you can what if everything.
If anything, I would get a bigger sentence as a result.
But I think there was a factor there where people were looking at. Well, they didn't really know each other. They were texting back and forth. Well, what if they were adults that didn't really know each other and were texting back and forth? You know, it may have made a difference for a number of people.
Well, think of the Manson family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was okay. These were a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And this was a 37-year-old dude telling them what to do.
Sure.
It's age shouldn't be a factor. It's a matter of a manipulative human being.
Yeah, in her
being
case,
able to take advantage of a very impressionable human being.
There are cases where I think you can sit back and say youth is a factor in this. She's evil.
Yeah, and she was younger than him.
And
if I'm speaking correctly.
She's old enough to know that what she's doing is evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have no sympathy. She got a slap on the wrist. I think she is going to prison for like 2 years, isn't she?
Yeah, she got 15 months.
Yeah, so 2 years plus time served. But that wasn't even my worst. My worst, speaking of suicide, Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, I have that for sports, actually.
So we'll talk about that later. But gets acquitted, commits suicide, and we discover that all your convictions are magically vacated in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts if you commit suicide.
It's crazy.
Oh, that's the thing. He didn't get acquitted. He got convicted, committed suicide, and then get acquitted.
He got convicted and then acquitted in the double murder. Because remember, that he got acquitted of the double murder a couple days before he killed himself.
Oh, that's true.
And then now everything, he thinks everything's going to go straight to the family. I will say this. As much as we may disagree with the circumstances of this, and as much as Aaron Hernandez once again played the system like a fiddle, which is what he's been doing his entire life, this is a, not to speak ill of the dead, this is a bad person.
That's a dead that you can speak ill of.
This is a bad person who thinks he's clever and has found clever ways
to the system
to manipulate. Well, it's not that he's immune to it. He gets it. He's figured out how to manipulate it. And killing himself was one of the ways that he manipulated it. It's still better to have that rule on the books than not. And if that means that a couple of really bad people decide to kill themselves rather than spend the rest of their lives on the taxpayer dime in the prison system, I say save the taxpayers some money. That's my two cents there.
So you would have texted Aaron, do it.
I would have called up Michelle Carter and I would have said, tell him to put more soap on the floor before he puts the thing around his neck. Mm-hmm. Worst national story.
For me, it's multiple stories, but kind of encapsulated by January 20th, 2017, and everything that has happened since then.
Did I mention that Shay is an irrational Trump hater?
I know, I've heard.
I'm sorry.
I think in a lot of ways she's right, because people have gone crazy since then.
I think you don't know the proper definition of the word irrational.
Oh, no, I do. I do.
I am a rational.
No. Rational. Rational assumes that you're looking at things from open eyes.
I do look at things from open eyes. We spoke about the tax reform last week.
Not in this case.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Generally speaking, yes, you do, but not in this case.
In this case, absolutely. Okay, I think that you forget that's the thing, is a year, 'tis long. I believe you forget about all the fun things involving the wall and the travel ban and defunding Planned Parenthood and firing people that don't agree with him. Oh, and we can all enjoy the super fun trappings of covfefe and fake news and blah, 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 blah. I'm a president who uses Twitter. Blah, 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 blah. You know, those things.
It's certainly been a whirlwind year for that.
Yes.
That is true. And I am a student of mass media, as you know, and it fascinates me how this year everybody has just had waves and waves of hate on both sides. It's just wild what's happening right now.
Well, and that's the thing, is that I part of what I pride myself when I describe our show to people is the fact that neither you nor I are way on leaning against this fence and almost toppling over.
Right.
In terms of that, like, I'm liberal. Yes, you're conservative, but we are rational and logical about it and can sometimes scooch towards the middle and even sometimes over to the other side. In this case, I don't think this is me being a blind, staunch Trump hater. This is me being a rational, smart, educated, informed human being like, come on, man.
I read the Huffington Post 5 times today.
Oh, shut up. Most of the news I get is from other countries because they're the only reliable places to get it.
I will agree with you on that. And that brings me to my worst national story for this year. And it is the ongoing failure of the media. Particularly CNN.
Nice.
They stick out as the really bad ones. We began the year with reports of a bogus dossier, which has now been completely debunked by the FBI, claiming that Donald Trump hired Russian hookers to urinate on a bed where Obama had slept.
Good for him.
Which was a ridiculous story to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We went from there to CNN claiming that WikiLeaks had offered somebody in the Trump campaign early access to the DNC emails. That turned out not to be true. We had the ABC story that Brian Ross got suspended for that crashed the stock market, mm-hmm. claiming that somebody had told Michael Flynn during the election to reach out to the Russians, mm-hmm. when in fact Michael Flynn was told to reach out to the election to the Russians after the election, mm-hmm. which was part of his job. The story about the Russians hacking election equipment in 21 states, not true, didn't happen. So
is your theory journalism is officially dead?
Here's the problem.
He's implying.
Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's dead.
mm-hmm. It needs a facelift.
I think we all know why it's bad.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to explain why it's bad or why an informed public is critical to a democracy that works. But a big part of the problem here, unfortunately, is the American people are supporting this. Because the American people go pouring in every single time one of these stories gets written, and everybody runs them out all over the place, and everybody's clicky, 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 clicky. So the real enemy in all of this, it turns out, is us.
Well,
we are the problem because we support this.
I agree and disagree in that absolutely, obviously, putting forth fabricated news is obvious. Not okay.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. But I think this is a sign of how desperate and how just looking for answers the American people are in everything that's happened in the last year. And that it's so much is so unfathomable. like the fact that Donald Trump is our president is unfathomable.
No, it's perfectly understandable why Donald Trump is our president.
If you're from Kansas.
If you're from anywhere that isn't California or New York.
You mean
it's understandable.
You mean the smart places?
Those aren't the smart places. Those aren't the only smart places. There are a lot of other smart places in this country.
You mean like Chicago that went for Hillary or
Metro Chicago. I think Illinois. Did Illinois go to Trump? He won a lot of counties out there. I don't think he won Illinois. Did he win Illinois?
I don't believe so, no.
There's a reason.
Wasn't that one of the states that he won that he wasn't supposed to?
No,
that was
Ohio.
Yeah. Ohio, yeah. Yes. And Michigan.
Which is the biggin.
Michigan.
Michigan, because he went in for a last-minute rally.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Ohio.
You have to think about concentration of people. You have to, first of all, think of concentration of people. Second of all, think of what that concentration is. The people, and I mean this in the least snobbish way possible, but the people who live in these major liberal cities, or arguably not even liberal cities, my brother is very conservative and lives in New York City, arguably one of the more liberal cities, but it's just the concentration of people in the major cities, liberal, conservative, whatever, are the people who are most educated, most understanding of the economy of our country, most understanding of the history of our country, most understanding of what our country needs in the larger global scope, as opposed to me and my farm or me.
Based
and
on
my,
what?
Based on statistics and life.
No.
And
no. Based on, and this is where I got to call you out, based on your opinion.
No, not based on my opinion.
Yes, based on your opinion.
Based on...
Your opinion is that educated people are the best served to decide who should run this country.
I didn't say just educated people.
That's what you're saying.
I said I was laying out like five different things.
The phrase best served escaped your lips.
One was educated. You cut me off before I got to say the rest of them. Worldly, people who want to learn more about the world. People who have been born and raised in Kansas and stayed in Kansas are not people who want to learn about what is best for the entire country as a whole. They are people who have their best interests placed in what is best for their town.
And again, I have to ask
Kansas.
You, what are you basing that on?
I don't know, traveling the entire country and meeting these people.
Right, so we've both been out there, and I'll tell you something. I will take the word of somebody in Kansas on what is best for the United States.
Over somebody who's been to almost every state in the union and spoken to somebody in almost every state in the union and gotten a much more universal view of what is actually best for the country?
Yes.
That's absurd.
No, that's not absurd.
It is absurd.
Because what I have witnessed in my lifetime is a government that once upon a time served the needs of our small towns and our states and our local communities and the individuals who lived there. that today serves big business. It serves Silicon Valley. It serves big pharma. It serves the banks. And everyday Americans are watching their livelihoods disappear under a pile of regulations, under taxes they don't understand, and they're being preyed on by companies left and right.
But see,
no one is looking out for those people
anymore.
But
see, you are being just as much, as you're placing me as a hypocrite, you're being just as much of a hypocrite as me. Because by my saying that people in the big cities are being ill-represented, you're implying that everyone that lives in these big cities that I'm mentioning, of the people who have gone to try to get a more universal scope of our country, are working for big business. You want to know my best friends in the big cities that I've lived in do? One of my best friends calls Roberta. She works for the New York City public school system. My best friend lives in Seattle. She works for 3 restaurants in the Seattle Restaurant Association. Most of my friends in Los Angeles are actors or comedians or Uber drivers. Most of my friends live in Chicago. Same thing. Oh, one's a tour guide. Does Chicago pay for that? I can't remember.
Those aren't the people I'm talking about.
Yes, they're not, but that's my point.
Those people don't have any power either.
Yes, but my point is that they go to places where they can see every scope of humanity and base their decision on seeing every scope of humanity. People from place I almost got run over by a tornado, Nebraska, cannot fathom what it's like to live in a 4-bedroom apartment with 6 other people in Brooklyn, New York.
And that has nothing to do with whether or not you have an understanding of what's good for America. Nothing.
Actually, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Because the other 5 roommates you have in that 4-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, New York, are from Nebraska and Florida and Washington State and California and Illinois. And that is how you learn what is best for America, by meeting other people from other areas of America.
No, I disagree with you entirely.
Okay, so it's better to just be sheltered and be surrounded by people who think exactly like you do, and basing your opinions on that.
No, I disagree with that entirely.
Well, here's a question for both of you. We all went to college. So do you think, after being in small town high school, when you went to college, that was your first moment of real diversity and really seeing where other people were from and their backgrounds?
Yes.
I went to UMass Amherst, which is pretty much the most diverse place on the planet back in the 90s. And it was really, eyes wide open on the different people that you meet and their backgrounds, including religion and what they believed in and where they were from. And
I grew up in Quincy, Massachusetts, where the population at the time I grew up was 60% Irish, Italian, or Irish-Italian mix,
sure.
All Catholic,
yep.
39% Chinese, and 1% whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college in Bronx, New York. The Bronx, New York. I always forget if you're supposed to put the in front of it. But going there, I had met 6 black people in my entire life. I assumed that everyone was Catholic. And I went to a Catholic college.
Oh, okay.
And was shocked when I got there, and all of my friends were like Presbyterian or some other Italian.
Actually, the Bronx is pretty Catholic.
Not where I went.
Yeah, no, it is. The Hispanics are pretty much Catholic.
Okay, are we gonna do this? Are you gonna tell me about a place I lived for 4 years?
No, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of Catholics in the Bronx.
Yeah, there are a lot of Jews in Brooklyn. That doesn't mean that you move to Brooklyn and all you meet are Jews.
No, that's true.
But I moved to the Bronx and suddenly my world exploded. I worked for the New York Botanical Garden. There were 30 people on the visitor services staff, me being one of them. 9 of us were white.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was either black or some form of Hispanic. So to say that your worldview isn't shaped, your being able to make a well-rounded opinion on things isn't shaped by the experiences you've had, your willingness to put yourself out there to learn about other cultures is, what's the word I used earlier? Absurd?
This is exactly the type of bias that is creating the problems we have in the media right now. Because what Shay is putting forward over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
is this idea that unless you have seen the world through this specific viewpoint, you can't possibly understand what's going on.
No, not a specific viewpoint. That's, through every viewpoint.
No.
I'm not saying you have to see it through a 6 foot tall Irish girl from Boston's eyes. I'm saying that you have to see it through your eyes with meeting a 6 foot tall Irish girl from Boston.
Yeah.
And a 4 foot tall Jewish boy from Brooklyn. And a 9 feet tall Chinese guy from Beijing.
I will ask you, what does all of your grand insight tell you about the impact of federal subsidies on grain futures for the livestock industry?
Hey, I have a good idea. Maybe why don't we stick to the subject instead of you trying to stump me with some stupid random political
subject? You're making the point.
U.S. subsidies on the grain industry? Well, I know that our current economic plan is hurting the American farmer and that we're not giving enough subsidies to the American farmer who are actually feeding all of us and 90% of the time due to the corn and wheat and livestock that they're growing and, you know, breeding. And I know that from driving through Nebraska and Kansas and Iowa that, yeah, if you ate today, thank a farmer because 90% of your food comes from farmers. Is that what you were trying to make me look like an idiot over?
No, I'm not trying to make you look like an idiot. I'm trying to open your eyes to the reality that the perspective you're putting forward, while it may be good in some areas, is not good in all. And the problem that we have in this country is everyone is stuck in their corner right now. Everyone is sitting there saying, I know what's going on and nobody else does.
No
and you're
one's
an idiot.
Stuck.
And those people are absurd and these people are absurd. Not true.
No one's stuck.
Everybody.
My father cut me off and I drove across the country by myself on my own dime. No one's stuck. If you want to learn, you can go out and learn.
Everybody has something that they know and that they understand that is valuable. And the way that this country is meant to work is that we have a representative government. That government represents the specific interests of different people around the country. So what everybody in Kentucky and Kansas and Nebraska knows about farm policy and actually feeding the American people comes to meet with what everybody in New York City and Chicago knows about international trade and what everybody in Texas knows about the oil industry and what everybody in Florida knows about how to rip off Social Security. All of those different points of view and all of those different perspectives come together to hopefully create government policies that benefit the largest number of people possible.
But that's my point. You are absolutely right in that regard. But that is my point, is that until...
Is it working?
All of the people...
It used to.
Until... Yeah. Used to, being the operative word. Until all of the farmers in Middle America and the people who understand business in Chicago and New York and the people ripping off Social Security in Florida and the people with oil reserves in Texas, and E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, and so on, come together to actually work together and understand each other, this is all moot.
Yeah, I see.
We're all just going to be, we might as well be like six different countries.
Who do you think doesn't want to come together and work on it?
The middle.
No. No.
Oh, us?
Not me. And not you specifically, but you look at what happens in every election in this country right now. You have money flowing in from Florida, or excuse me, not Florida. You have money flowing in from California.
I knew you didn't mean that.
You have money flowing in from New York. You have coastal liberals trying to buy candidates, trying to buy legislators because they agree with them on some narrow issue. Oh, we have to elect all the pro-choice candidates. So all the Emily's List money.
You shouldn't even say try. That's happening.
We need gay marriage. So all the Hollywood money rolls in.
Yep.
And what's happened in this country is the people who are just trying to elect somebody who'll get them a decent farm bill get blown out because all the liberal money floods in and elect somebody that doesn't know anything about foreign policy.
Have they been, though? Because
yes, they have, because I've been involved in an election like that.
Last I checked, I was rooting for Bernie Sanders, who was total grassroots.
Absolutely. No, we were both Bernie supporters.
I like Bernie, too.
But the fact that one guy managed to run for president and, by the way, get defeated by the coastal machine does not...
That I will agree with you on.
Does not rule out everything else that's been going on in this country.
But again, your point is quite good, but it's also proving mine that it's a matter of a lack of understanding. If
It's actually
there
a matter.
Was a way.
It's
if there
actually
was a way,
Shay. It's actually a matter of a lack of diversity. If we want to get right down to it,
well,
it's a lack of diversity.
Let's put it this way: it's a lack of immersive diversity. Because don't get me wrong, we are
diversity.
No, we are the absolutely the most diverse country in the world, but no one interacts with each other, or very few interact with each other.
I agree with that point 100%.
Immersively, that's why, I don't know if you've seen Sarah Silverman's new show, and I know you're not a huge fan of hers, even though I love her to death, but that's the point of her new show called I Love You America, is to go to these places where they never heard the first episodes in the Louisiana Bayou. And it's purposely because you never meet New England Jew here. Like, let's just chat. That is what is lacking in our country. That's why all of this is happening, is that we are incredibly diverse, but we're a divisive kind of diversity.
I see where Shay's going, and I agree with her almost 100% on this, because I think what's important is it's a great American melting pot, and the Irish and the Italians and the Chinese and the black people that we knew, the melting pot just had a whole bunch of new ingredients over the last 20 to 40 years. And now we have a pot full of a bunch of people that aren't being represented. And you have, what's interesting is you have this generation, and Shay's kind of on the cusp, but when you get down, and if you want to label millennials and younger, but you have these people that are not afraid to talk to people. And I think that's important. Going out to UMass were the best years of my life. I met so many different people. So many different religions, and I was not a religious guy when I went in, but I took a class on religion and learned about religion from a number of friends and stuff, and I think just having those discussions is super important, because it's so easy to just shut down and say, okay, this is the person that I want to have represent me, and also, to your point, Derek, you have somebody in there that doesn't even know what the hell they're doing. You know, and if you had more people actually talk and actually have a discussion, people would know more about politics and how everything is run.
Well, and instead of the last thing I'm ever going to do is argue against discussion. That's my whole thing. But here's the broader point. And this is where I think Shay's view of things falls a little bit short. Having a conversation with somebody from Nebraska is not the same thing as living in Nebraska and running a farm day to day and dealing with the realities of that. And Sarah Silverman and the rest of the liberals conducting their Jane Goodall trips out into the backwaters of the United States to study the apes in their native habitat is lip service to what actually needs to be done, which is to elevate the issues that exist at that grassroots level. That's what's been overlooked in this country.
But we're an enormous country. Isn't the first step to, at least as much as you can call it, just kind of dipping your toe in whatever the lifestyle of all of these people, isn't the first step to at least begin to try to understand it in such a way where when you're voting, you stand there in the booth and think, well, I met that dude from Nebraska and I was talking to him about what it's like to run a farm. So maybe this will influence the way that I check this box.
Yes.
That's my point.
That is a good first step. That's why every discussion we have about gun control on this show inevitably goes back to the people who live in the middle of nowhere and need a gun to defend themselves.
Because bears are terrifying.
Because there's bears and no police 2 minutes away.
I have never had a gun in my hand in my life, and I never will. Don't like guns.
I only want to because I really want to see it, how bad a shot I am. Mm-hmm.
If a bear came after me, I'd bang it in the snout after it whacked me
once.
Oh,
no, you're supposed to just make yourself really big.
I am very big.
That's the rule. No, but I mean, you're supposed to, like, stretch your arms out.
Yeah.
That's what I used to. My first cell phone was a Salvation Army issued cell phone, only because it was red, and that's one of my favorite colors.
That makes you an easier target, and what you're talking about, the bear can avoid.
There. Yeah.
No, you're supposed to make yourself really big.
No, you're supposed to make a lot of noise.
Well, yeah, then you go.
I've been around bears, though, and they kind of like me. They come and they eat my food, and then
they
wander off. Yeah. They're like, hey, he's playing Prince at the campfire.
Quote, December 27th, 2017, Chris Earle.
Yeah.
Bears kind of like me.
Mauled by bears.
Please say this at his funeral 3 weeks from now after
exactly.
He's been mauled by bears.
Hey, somebody's got to go.
Chris
if
Earle
God has
today,
that in store for me.
Mauled by a
so
bear.
So be it. I will never shoot a bear.
855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shay Spillane, and Chris Earle. It is the worst of 2017, and we will be back with the worst international story right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Happy New Year, baby!
Happy New Year, nothing. The way you treated me last year wasn't nothing happy about it.
Yeah, baby, but that was last year. This year I'm turning over a new leaf.
I don't believe it.
You don't? Well, pick up on this, Jack. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Well, I made a resolution. I'm gonna keep the whole year through. I'm gonna give up chasing women, whiskey drinking too. Stop my ballyhooing, yes, and mistreating you. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Yes, I want plenty loving from nobody else but you. I'm gonna give you all my money to buy the things you choose. I even steal and borrow and pawn my clothes and shoes to keep you happy, baby. Happy the whole year through. Cause I want plenty loving from nobody else but you. Sweet and pretty, I'll buy you a big brass bed. If I catch you cheating, I'll fill you full of lead. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Well, I want plenty loving from nobody else but you. That's what I mean.
I'm Sarah Beck, consumer meat specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with some tips on buying meat for economy and value. You can be sure you're getting both if you use the USDA quality grades Prime, Choice, and Good as your guide. When you see USDA Prime stamped on a piece of meat, you'll know you're getting the top quality. Of course, it'll probably be the most expensive. Choice is the grade you'll see in most stores, and it's almost as high in quality. Although Good grade is not as juicy and flavorful as the higher grades, it's somewhat more lean and acceptably tender. It's often a good buy for the thrifty shopper. For more free information on meat quality, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250. That's How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Hi, I'm Ann Margaret, here to wish you a most happy new year.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
WMFO Medford, it is the Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shea Spillane, Chris Earle. with you on the Tell Mikey D, coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. If you're enjoying the show, run out the door, wake up the neighbors, tell them it's WMFO. It is our annual salute to the worst of the year that's been. We've been through the worst local stories, the worst national stories, and we move on to the worst international story. And this one has sort of been sitting like right on the edge of making our news every single week for several weeks.